Welcome back to the Champagne Problems podcast.
We're your hosts, Amy
and Rose.
And today we're here to talk about Taylor's newest album,
Evermore. So, Amy, tell me, what are your initial thoughts on the album? Just kind of big picture, like whatever you want.
Well, I hate to say it and to admit it, especially because we never really talked about Folklore on our podcast because we're late to the game. But
we can go back.
My initial thought was disappointment.
I do hate to say it, but I agree.
And it's like nothing against the album. I really enjoy it, but
I'm happy with any content we get.
I'm happy with it. I like the songs. But my initial thought was, I wasn't.
Don't love it.
Like, I didn't really connect to, on first listen, to any of the songs except for Marjorie. That was the only one where I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But
I was a little disappointed as well. I mean, just coming off from Folklore.
Mm-hmm. Huge high.
I mean,
huge high.
Was an like a album of the summer. I mean, of August. The
soundtrack of my summer.
It was iconic for us at the beach. August.
Well, not at the beach. On the cement.
On the cement by the beach. But
on the cement by the beach.
But
the beach is closed.
So coming off a high from a song like August, which in my opinion is, you know, a top five Taylor song. You know, it was a little hard. I was expecting a lot from Bridges because Folklore had a lot of really good bridges. And I just, it wasn't really serving me that like emotional. I didn't connect as much.
I think upon first listen. Rose, really, you connect through a song through the bridge. Yes. I feel like for you, it's like the bridges are make it or break it for you.
Yeah. I mean,
and I mean, everyone loves the bridge. That's what people, I mean, All Too Well is not All Too Well because it has a horrible bridge.
It has two bridges.
Yeah. But yeah, the bridges were a little bit weaker. But
yes,
again, this was after like the first listen, and as I'm digging into it more, I'm liking it more. There's a lot more depth, and like I thought Folklore was super cohesive, like easy to analyze the storylines, and like more obvious meanings. And in Evermore, it's like
Evermore seems just dense to me.
It's lyrically, it's a lot more dense.
And like lyrics that I don't necessarily relate with. Just, you know, in the sense that I've never cheated on my husband or
never been married, cheated on my husband. I've never committed murder.
No.
Yeah. Let me think what else. I'd never been proposed to.
I've
never had a hometown honey.
Nope. I've never hooked up with someone from my hometown. So overall, upon first listen, it was a miss for me. But
I've never had closure. I'm just kidding. Okay, anyway,
the album came out last week, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had a week. I'm liking some, but I still do feel, I agree, the cohesiveness of the album is
a little different, but as I'm like doing more deep dives, I'm liking it more. I'm relating more to songs and the parts, and then I do find like, oh, maybe in a more broad way they connect to each other.
Yeah, I agree.
So
should we?
Those are
the game
thoughts.
Plan for today. We're gonna do the first four songs on Evermore.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna, you know, do a little chat. We have a couple notes written.
Deep dive.
We'll do a little.
Because now I feel like everyone's loving the analysis. Not sure what I'm saying here.
So should we get into it?
And like Taylor's songs, let me just say, it's like sometimes when I listen to other music, I'm wondering, like, could I analyze this much, any song?
Well, we don't need to talk about your One Direction dark hole. Maybe another podcast.
Yes, you could.
But
Taylor, then when I start to look at her songs, like each lyric could like send you down a different rabbit hole, and that's what I think her music is so powerful, and especially this new era that she's in, like the Folklore type, they're even more like vague, kind of, and could mean so many different things. So
yeah, so Willow.
A Okay, that's enough.
We've all heard the album.
We know it.
So initial thoughts, not really one of my favorites. I tuned in for the music video when it came out, and you know, it was fine. I get kind of like medieval vibes from it. The guitar sounds kind of just like old timey.
Well, it sounds like a like banjo kind
of. Yeah, it's like a. Yeah, I'm thinking like, I don't know why it reminds me of like Romeo and Juliet vibes, like that era. Anyway, so not a huge fan, but it's growing on me. And you know, she's releasing these witches remixes for some reason. have you listened to any of them?
Yeah, my first impression was that like I didn't love it. I didn't watch the music video, but
first impression didn't love it.
Then she puts out the Lonely Witch remix, and like I could not relate to being called a lonely witch. Like, can everyone just call me a lonely witch?
No. I can relate to that too.
I just love the how she called it a lonely witch remix. And so after that,
you're on board.
I was like, there's got to be something here for me. So I do have some good insights because I did a deep dive on this one. So I might, you know, surprise you. It's fine.
On the
witch on Willow.
Oh.
I did listen to all the witch remixes. Okay. And if you guys haven't seen the video of, like, that green blob guy dancing.
Kermit the Frog.
Oh. Oh, yeah. You know that
the caption is, it's 2 hours. You can't dance to Evermore.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's Kermit the Frog.
Doing that stupid dance.
Dancing.
Maybe
real
we'll
slow.
Post it to our Instagram.
Yeah, well, I'm sure people have seen it.
It was so funny.
It's a little bit hilarious.
Because, like, you could dance like the hand. Anyway,
yeah, what kind of stood out to you?
Well, what do you have any thoughts besides like any theories, thoughts?
I don't have any huge theories.
Then. Okay, because my initial impression of this song was like not positive. I kind of was like thinking it wasn't like a love song. I thought it was. I didn't watch the video.
Okay.
So the vibes. And
what
like,
made you think it wasn't a love song?
Okay, the lyrics to me saying like. I'm begging for your hand and like you're straying, I'm following you. It kind of made it seem like it was a guy who wasn't interested in her.
Like a cat and mouse.
Like, yeah. And then like some of the other lyrics were like your bait and switch was a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
And like that kind of made it seem like to me like he's like trying to lure her in with some like cheap trick. Oh, she also said something about tricks, I thought.
Did you, in the music video, you know, when there's the invisible string? I liked that part of the video because I think she was kind of using this song as like tying to the old album.
Almost. Well, I think now after watching the video with the song, and like Taylor said that the song, she feels like it's like casting a spell on someone you love.
Uh-huh.
So, I didn't see the video first, but then the video is, like, obviously invisible string. And mm-hmm. if you listen to songs together, they sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of think now that Willow is, like, about Joe.
Yeah.
And so, I Google Willow symbolism. And,
oh, I Google that, too.
And it literally is, like, balance,
yeah.
growth, harmony, and fertility.
I saw that, too.
It was like, oh, my gosh. So then after seeing that, like, you know, Taylor didn't pick Willow for nothing. She could have picked Oak Tree, Pine Tree.
Yeah.
You're like a pine, you.
Well, evergreen. We'll get into
that's
that.
True. But, yeah, I think she obviously picked Willow and then the invisible string. I'm like, duh, this song is about Joe.
Yeah. Because I think she was using it. I think that's why she used it as the single. Because I think she was trying to tie it in
into
with folklore a little bit.
I guess that makes sense.
But yeah, I think the song is about Joe too.
And then I think
but it's so vague.
It kind of like the way that she talks about it does kind of seem like when they first meet, he's like a bad boy. And like if you were a fan of the Reputation era, like it's very clear that she had the totally wrong perception about Joe, you know, and all mm-hmm. the songs she portrays him as like this mysterious bad guy who's gonna leave.
Yeah.
And then she realizes that's, like, not him at all. So I kind of feel like this song kind of ties to those themes. Like, in Cornelia Street, how she's, like, about to walk away before he leaves her.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of all in her head a little bit.
Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting how, like, willow trees, like, they have so many branches and those, like, sway and move a lot, but ultimately, like, they're planted by a huge trunk. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, even if they're moving a lot, they'll always be, like, grounded.
Yeah.
Which is how Joe makes her feel.
Yeah. No, I like that. I noticed, yeah, that's initially what I first did to, like, get some
to be like, what's going on here? Because Taylor did this for a reason.
Yeah. And, yeah, because it just seems kind of, like, purposeful that she chose. And also it makes me think of, like, Pocahontas. You know, the grandmother Willow.
I actually never fully seen
that. You've never seen Pocahontas?
Okay. I've only listened to the music.
Well, for anyone who's seen it, you know, she's, like, friends with grandmother Willow.
Oh.
And she's always over there. Oh, and she's like, kind of this, like,
symbol.
Knowledge. It's, like, it kind
of, like the tree of
grounds her. It's, like, life, whatever.
So forever, whoever wants to run off on those theories about Taylor being pregnant, the fertility tree,
they can really run with that one.
That's a pretty good thing to run with.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what people were saying is that her line about, I come back, they count me out time and time again, but I come back stronger than the 90s trend. So it's kind of interesting there. I feel like she goes to, like, they, and it kind of takes her back to that 2016 Reputation era where, like, they were all, like, against her. She was being hunted.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of weird, though. Like, it kind of takes away from the timelessness of the song to put 90s in there. To be like,
that's what I thought, too. Trend. Because it reminds me of the song sounds like medieval.
Yeah. And then she says, but I come back stronger than 90s trends. So, like, maybe she's trying to bring us back to the present.
Yeah.
It reminds me of how in the lake she's like, they're texting about me.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that kind of brought me
out. I hated when they do that. Or when she talks about the mall.
Yeah, you're right.
It's weird. That's like a common theme is like she's putting like, or to talking about the internet in Coney Island.
Oh, yeah.
She's that making these timeless type songs. Dated kind of with certain timestamps. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's weird.
If anyone has any insight on that, let us know.
Yeah.
But I also thought the 90s trend like could kind of refer how 1989 was kind of like one of her demises. So like she's saying like I'm coming back stronger than 1989.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's good.
And just to sorry, did you have something else?
No.
To touch on another side of things, I think the song is about Joe, but one of my other perceptions was like, if Willow is a negative love song, never mind.
I didn't think it was negative. I didn't get negative vibes.
I got the negative vibes. I got it like, I didn't think it was a love song when I first listened. But I didn't watch the video first.
Yeah, I watched the video.
Okay. Should we move on to that? Did we get that one?
I looked up did you know what an open shut case was?
I looked it up too.
Okay. I kept thinking like what the hell is an open shut case?
But is it just like a case that's closed pretty easily?
Yeah, it's like an easy case. So okay. That's like I think that kind of fits in that you know, things with her and Joe have always been kind of like easy and like there's been like tough times between them, like you know, the willow swaying in the wind, but like they're always kind of like steady. You know, even if they go through those things together. Because, you know, she was with him when she was underground from Reputation. Yeah. You know, like, the start of their relationship, I would assume, like, she was in a pretty tumultuous place.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's kind of what I
think. And I think she was in a tumultuous place, so it's like, obviously, she was thinking she can't trust him.
Yeah.
Like, all that kind of stuff. But also, bait and switch. Every bait and switch was a work of art. Like, that sounds pretty negative to me. It makes it sound like someone's manipulating her purposely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what she means by that.
I don't know either. Taylor, let us know.
Let us know. okay. I think that's all I have to say about that.
The song also just brought up, like, the reoccurring train theme that we see. Which, like, might just be have to do with, like, folklore vibes.
Yeah. Or just... Yeah, she needed a word.
Sorry to keep going on with this, but I just want to shut down all trilogy theories.
No, we're not shutting that down yet.
We just want to shut all those down by saying that all the trilogy theories were related to the Willow remixes that she let out. In my opinion.
No. She didn't. I will continue to entertain the
theories. Well, let's just keep our hopes down by thinking that she met the Willow trilogy.
April 30th. Someone do it. That's when it's
going to come out. I'm not going to. I don't have time to be this anxious until April 30th. I'm not. I can't do that.
I have the time. Anyway, maybe we'll have more album. I'm not ready to discount it yet.
Well,
neither is Taylor.
I'll see it when I see it. So, okay. And she said, "I'm so tired." Is she really gonna be like? Then this one just came out because it was natural.
Yeah.
If she's actually trying to get an album out by this date, then she'll be forced.
I did see she contacted Paul McCartney. His album was gonna come out on Friday. And she was like, oh, I'll push it. Like, I wanted to have it come out, like, for my birthday weekend. But, and then she was going to move it. And then he was like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm moving mine to the 18th.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I thought that was funny that she reached out to Paul McCartney. I think it's
funny she didn't reach out to Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys. For their single. They had a single.
Oh, they did?
Nobody's talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel bad for everyone else. I guess.
Britney Spears is making music?
Yeah. Hello.
Wait, how did I not see that?
She's had, I don't know, I've heard two of her songs.
Oh.
But yeah, everyone else just
yeah, kind of you don't want to have a release on the same day as Taylor.
No.
Swift. That's probably worst case scenario.
Yeah.
If you're a singer.
You find out that it was dropping a surprise album.
It's yeah, that's not where you want to
be. You might as well just give up your
career. You might as well. You're not gonna chart.
Kid Cudi. It's
oh yeah.
I don't know how his did.
I didn't know you knew who Kid Cudi was.
God, I heard people saying it. Okay.
okay. Champagne problems. Should we?
Move on? Let's just play to get us into the vibe of the my little party. Okay, I'm into the vibe.
Feeling it.
Wait, could you please tell me what the definition of champagne problems is?
It's like a first world problem. Oh, it's like,
really?
Yeah. It's like, it's something that is like a really dumb problem, but you're still complaining about it. Yeah.
All of my problems are real problems.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, like if you compare yourself to like a starving orphan, it's a champagne problem.
You could offend our listeners.
I'm not going to offend our listeners. There's no one's a starving orphan listening to Apple Podcast.
It says compared to issues of poverty, national disasters. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. If anyone is a starving orphan.
Sorry for the listeners out there.
This is a dense one.
And just as a foreword, this one was written by Taylor and the William Bowery.
Yes. Important to note, even though it's clearly not about them.
Oh, I forgot to say that William Bowery. If you just mash up the letters, it does spell Willow. It goes into Willow if you take out like a lot of it.
So. Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Anyway,
you smash up the letter.
No, it's like if you remove some letters, then you get Willow.
Okay, that makes
something
sense.
Like that.
I can entertain that theory.
Yeah, bow. You take out the O R Y.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, sorry. Go on about.
So this is a good one. This is I think either one. Or two on the album for me. Top one.
I think this is top one for a lot of people.
Yeah, she brought us to Bridge City for this one. And it's probably my favorite lyrics. I mean, we'll get there. But I really enjoy this song. I really enjoy the piano. I see a lot of people are saying that it kind of sounds like New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
The piano thing. And I think that's interesting. Oh. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, in the Last Great American Dynasty, when they say, fill the pool with the champagne and swim with the big names.
Yeah.
It does remind me of, like, Gatsby era and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she does a lot of Gatsby stuff in this album, too.
You notice that?
Which song is it? Happiness?
Oh, you think?
She does, yeah. We'll get into that when we do that.
I didn't notice that.
And also, I think it kind of reminds me of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. I don't know why. It's very just like champagne-y.
Oh, I guess you're right.
It's like it's like such a like a stupid problem, you know?
Okay.
It's like,
I could kind of see it like that, but I don't know. This song, for saying it's a stupid problem, it's like cuts pretty deep, and it's like, well, I know, it's pretty sad.
It's kind of,
it's so sad.
It's like, it's the most like unexplainable thing. You know, it's like to be in a relationship and to say no, and yeah, you're just like, your only reason is like, sorry, it's not it.
Yeah. So do you think they were still in college when he proposed?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't get.
She wasn't ready. Maybe. And also, like in the first verse, though, when she's saying he's on the night train, is that, do you think it's alluding to the rest of the song, like that's after the breakup? Because my perception is like,
this, I was confused about
this
the
first verse.
Too.
He's like, he was broken up with, and he doesn't want to be in, like, because he's sitting there in this hurt, so he's,
yeah,
like, wants
so
to
I
be alone.
It was after,
which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why she did that, to be honest.
This one,
and I don't
also
know why
has
he took,
like,
what do you mean a night train? Where does he? Did he go home? Like,
he's going into Folkloreville.
He's going to Woodvale. The third album, the trilogy album.
What's your favorite lyric from this song?
You know, I'm a big bridge girl, so it's the bridge for me.
I said lyric.
It's the bridge. It's the whole bridge.
No, you don't get to choose the whole bridge.
It's the one for the money, two for the show.
Oh,
I never was ready. So,
oh yeah.
So I watched you go.
That was pretty good.
That is,
because you know that hits. You know that nursery rhyme.
Yes. Well, did you used to do that when you on swings?
No.
Did you ever have? Oh, we would do that on the swings before you do an underdog.
Oh no,
you never
I didn't
did that.
Do that.
What nursery rhyme is it then?
One for the money, two for the show, three for the something. Let's go. So it's saying,
yeah.
So instead of let's go,
we used to do it on the swings.
It's just a nursery rhyme. I also did see something interesting and about how, did you see a picture of Carly Kloss? There was
one?
A picture of her on a centerfold. And, like, it was a picture of her, and then on the side said, one for the money, two for the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's random.
Is it random?
This is very clearly not about a woman, because...
Because why?
Because it says he. Isn't that?
It doesn't... Saying he or she doesn't mean anything. People throw that around all the time.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
What, do you disagree?
Yeah, I disagree. Not to be political.
No, people.
To gender a Taylor Swift song.
No, people are.
But this is about a man.
No, it's not. You can't obviously think that, because a lot of times people just put genders in songs of what should flow.
Mm. Anyway, I think this is about a man. I think this is about. I think it's.
I think it is too. But I'm just saying. I think it is, but I also think that just because they say a certain gender doesn't mean you can count out the other gender, because a lot of artists do that.
Okay. Well, I don't want to offend any of our listeners. Also, okay, so I noticed, you know, when they're the Mad Woman link where she was talking how
I'm just
they used to call it the madhouse, or she's fucked in the head,
yeah,
or whatever. I like that. I don't really know, like, why, but there's, like, an obvious link there to the other album.
Yeah, when she says, how does it go?
This dorm was once a madhouse. I made a joke. Well, it's not made for me.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree, okay.
No, I like the song.
Okay.
I think I immediately go to New Year's Day when I hear it every time. And, yeah, this one also needed to grow on me before I really picked up the bridge and really enjoyed that.
Yeah, the bridge hits home.
It hits home. It hits deep. It's pretty long. And then I also see a lot of parallels in this song to, like, her other songs. I see parallels to Folklore. And I think it's interesting how a lot of her album is about, like, marriages. And then this one, the second song, is kind of about, like, not entering into a marriage,
mm-hmm.
too. But I also think it's interesting that this was written with Joe.
Yeah, like, that it's weird that they're writing breakup songs together.
Yeah, I just like want to read into it more and be like,
yeah,
what message are they? But really, maybe they're just.
I just think they're chilling about the piano.
Yeah,
because
he
time.
Does seem to like the piano.
Yeah, I just think they're hanging out.
So that's why I think,
and
like,
that's what Taylor Swift does in her free time.
So the songs with Joe, maybe we can see, are more like fictional. Like,
yeah.
But he was on Coney Island too, so I guess
that's
that
true.
Was kind of fictional.
Well, yeah. Unless she was really at Coney Island.
I don't see Taylor going to Coney Island.
Neither do I.
Maybe when she was in that suitcase, she was being transported to Coney Island.
Doubtful. But anyway, I like how she kind of uses like a champagne. I like this, the title of the song, like the champagne problem. She's talking about this like relationship, and like it seems fine. You know, they have this like fine relationship. They were college sweethearts, and but then it's like everything should be cool. Like they got a good group of friends. You know, they went back to campus. Like,
huh? What? They went back to campus.
The second verse.
Oh, in the dorm.
I don't know. They were just talking about the dorms.
Oh, okay.
You know, they just seem like on the outside, like, okay, everything's fine, but like she's not. She just doesn't. She's want just it. Like, and it's like such a champagne problem to be like, I don't know. He's this really great guy.
Yeah, but
I can't say yes.
Yeah. You know? I never really used that term champagne problems much before, so it just kind of like feels like she keeps throwing it out there. But I guess it really goes with the aesthetic of the song.
Yeah, and also just even the champagne, I just get kind of a link to the last great American dynasty.
When definitely,
it seems just because I mean that's a story of this like really rich woman, you know, and it's like. All of her problems were champagne problems, you know. She's
the richest person. Say that you can't have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, rich people and people in relationships have problems too.
Well, what was the lyric in the last grade? Okay, moving on to Gold Rush.
Moving on.
Let's go off on Gold Rush.
Give us the vibe,
Rose. What's your thoughts on Gold Rush?
I like it. Initial thoughts are good. You know, it's Jack Antonoff helped write or arrange whatever he did. And you know, I'm a big Jack Antonoff.
Wait, did you say Jackets in the Bleachers?
Jackets in the Bleachers.
What?
What?
Isn't he in a band?
Oh yeah, he's in a band.
Isn't it Amy. Bleachers?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I just said.
I thought you said Jacket.
No. Okay.
He's in a band.
I do like Bleachers.
Yeah. They sing that song, I Want to Get Better.
Mm, yeah. They're
pretty good. But anyway, I think Jack is in on, you know, the third album. They shared a little giggle in the Long Pond. I don't know if anyone caught that. But Amy doesn't want to talk about that. So I like this song, though. Jack tweeted that it's for the August heads. For the people who like August, and you know, I'm a big August fan.
I think it's like August, but it doesn't hit
as hard for me. No. Because the lyrics, it's aren't catchy. There. It's catchy.
The lyrics aren't quite as deep as
he's pop,
but it's good.
So I like it. I think it's good. It's a good song.
Yeah, I like it too. It's pretty catchy. The chorus really gets you going.
Chorus gets you. I like kind of like the way the music sounds, like going from the verse to the chorus.
Yeah.
Like when it kind of gets higher.
I feel like the music is really good. And also the music is kind of like a little bit crazy, chaotic, kind of like reminds me of Closure in a way. Not like fully like that, but
Closure is.
I don't know. I feel like this song, the music in the song really, they use the background music to really put the vibe of the song. Yeah. And it gives me gold vibes. Like it totally does.
Yeah. Yeah. I can like feel, it feels very sparkly to me, which is cool.
Speaking of gold vibes, which is why I think this song is about Harry Styles, obviously, because so it obvious. Really reminds me of his song like Golden, and like in his song Golden, he says like, "Oh, I want this to be a song you can like drive on the Pacific Coast Highway to and listen with the windows rolled down." And don't you feel like this song gives you those same types of vibes?
Yeah, it's definitely a feel good song.
Yeah, and besides that, I feel like. It's hard to think of, like, I mean, it could be about anyone or just, like, the immediate rush you get. But if we are going to attribute it to her exes, I feel like Harry's really the only one who's, like, everybody wants you, all your contrarian, whatever.
Yeah, the contrarian shit. So I had to look that up because
of it's like, what is this?
Yeah, that's just probably a British, you know, he seems like he would be that way.
He totally is that way. Yeah. And then they were
okay,
like,
"Well, I'm not a Harry Styles fan, so I don't know him as well as you do."
Hey, sorry.
So I had to look it up.
And then you know their coastal town where they had the breakup. Taylor on the boat.
Yeah, sad Taylor on the boat.
Yeah, and then she was there with him when he got his ship tattoo.
Okay. Yeah, but we were talking yesterday about the hair, the dominoes, which is, I think, my favorite line from the whole song.
And really? That's your favorite line?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just like it. Just like hits, you know?
Oh, no.
Okay. But yeah, it makes sense with Harry's. When she was dating him, he had that really long hair.
Well, no, but it was like a year or two after she was dating him. So maybe she was still like kind of pining over him.
Oh, you
and think? Like still like, what would have happened? Because she kind of says like, I turn us our stories into folklore, which I kind of feel like she's saying like, maybe our relationship was fake, but like I made up these great songs about it.
Wow, are you saying that their relationship was
fake? Yes.
Why do you think that?
I won't get into my theories.
You know, and some people might not know that.
That it was fake?
Yeah.
Do you think it was real?
Yeah, I believe Taylor. Why would she write a whole album about him?
I believed her, but then, as she says, I turn your life into folklore or whatever, she's saying she plays
Well, she probably wrote the whole thing up to herself.
She plays off one feeling that she had and, like, really embellishes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can
see
that.
So maybe they went
She completely romanticizes every single relationship she's ever been in.
Which is not even, like, romanticizing. It's just that she's outletting her thoughts. Like, I do the same thing. I just don't write it down and release it as an album.
Yeah, but maybe she was like that with Harry, too. You know, where, like, he maybe wasn't super interested. And she was like, oh, wow, like, this is rock star.
Yeah, and he was
like, he's so cool. He's British. You know, we'll get into Taylor's obsession with British men. But
yeah, she probably wanted him because she was British, but little did she know.
Yeah, she didn't know. Anyway, that's about all I have to say about this song. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Oh, it's just also that I really relate to the line about having a red flush because I'm a blusher.
Yeah.
And you just can't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I like how she tied it into folklore by bringing in that line.
Yeah, I do like that line.
And
too.
Straight up admitting that she made up all the songs about Harry.
Yeah.
Thank you for agreeing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I think
she probably knows. Yeah.
She probably knows that it was embellished.
Yeah,
I'm not even embellished
every relationship.
She's not embellishing it. She's just like writing out
so many times that it turns into the truth.
I don't think she. Well, it turns into the truth for us.
For her,
I don't think she's crazy.
I think she kind of is.
Okay, after a date, wouldn't you write a song like that?
Maybe when I was 22.
I think musicians probably just have a different way of outletting their thoughts.
Yeah.
And imagining scenarios that I never
But she does, I mean, when she talked about why she named it folklore, you know, it's like you speak all of these stories mm-hmm. until they're true.
That's true. Oh, that's a great point.
And I think that she does do that. Like her songwriting, like it is, they are folk songs.
And, but not even that you speak them so much that it's true to you, but that for
true to
all
other
of
people
us,
too.
It's, that's a narrative.
But I'm sure she convinced she did that herself,
yeah,
too. She convinced herself into it. And, you know, we all do that. You know, I'm dramatic.
Extent. Yeah.
I don't write folk songs about it, though. But.
Yeah, that's true. It does totally become the narrative.
Yeah. And she's played into that so many times. Knowingly, probably.
I mean, it's like, I don't even know if her personal persona plays into it, but her media persona.
Yeah.
This is her brand. And, like, she was so good at branding herself.
Very good.
At, like, this is who she was. Like, these songs and these heartbreaks. And, like, so it had to kind of be that way.
Yeah. That's true.
I also saw some theories about this song being about a girl too, maybe Carly Close, just with like the long hair.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And it could be.
And she's the blonde hair too.
Yeah. I think it could be about both her and Harry because she was dating Harry to cover up for her romance with Carly, some people say.
Oh, really?
Some
was people. Was that all happening at that time?
I thought it was happening like around that time.
Okay.
So, in a way, it could be about both of them.
Wow.
But
I mean, I think it could be about anyone.
Yeah, it could be.
But it does imply that it's about some sort of, like, perfect being.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe she just, you know, everyone thinks their boyfriend's perfect.
All right, should we move on to Tis the Damn Season?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Here we go.
I can load it.
Let me just put it on really quickly. People who are talking about it, you're not seeing the people who are like, oh, I don't really.
Well, no, I think it's a relatable moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people can relate to this.
Yeah, even if you don't have a hometown honey,
yeah,
it could be.
You can still relate to it. But I feel like a lot of people do have these hometown honeys. That's why everyone's talking about, like, when you go home on, like, Black Wednesday and you meet like your ex-boyfriend at the bar.
Some
people are saying that. I think that's really relatable. Like,
yeah, and it's, yeah, and to some people.
To some people that have
boyfriends in
maybe
high school.
Yeah, had some guy experience in high school.
So if anyone's listening and they're from my hometown, just give me a little ring. I'll be home over Christmas break.
I don't think our target market is men in their 30s. Do you?
Yeah. No. Well, if you're listening, my number is, I'm just kidding. You should have it.
No. Yeah, so this is a good one.
Yeah, it came out in the right time.
Yeah, it's seasonal. It's topical.
I think like a lot of the lyrics too are just really good. If I wanted to know just how it starts off, who you're hanging around with, I would have asked.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't really care. She just wants him.
So what do you think the vibe is between the two of them? I mean, I know a lot of people are linking this to Dorothea.
Oh.
My issue there is that from Tis the Damn Season, I feel like he's not really into her.
I feel like she's in love with him.
Yeah, but he's not into her, right?
It's hard to say. I don't think they give much.
It's hard because we don't have the perspective.
I don't think it really gives much insight.
He's doing it because, like, it's there. And, like, and she's in love with him. And, like, she's going to accept less than she wants.
Hmm.
But then why in Dorothea is he, like, are you thinking about me? Like, what? I don't understand the link there.
Oh, I'll have to. Oh, yeah, because didn't she say that they were linked? She said that in her blurb.
Yeah, I think she did say.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
well,
where?
We have to believe her.
Yeah. I mean, they're made up. Maybe she got lost in the story. she misplaced the character
log. I think this one was written with Aaron.
Yeah. You know.
But he just wants to be the guy with the big truck and, like,
yeah,
probably the flannel.
Yeah. You think
actually,
there's a link.
It does, though, holy does. Even if it's not a hometown honey, it does remind me of, like, connecting with somebody who you used to, like, be with, like,
yeah.
I don't want to know who you're with now or, like, what's going on. I just want this to be, like, a weekend thing.
Yeah. It's kind of, like, it's sad that she's, like, we can call it even. It's, like, kind of forgetting about
everything else that went down.
Yeah. And just kind of, like, being together and, like, pretending. Like, living in just,
yeah,
like,
ignorant bliss.
Yeah, ignorant bliss. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it is.
Well, I'm
she's kind of
wondering
just, like, settling
if they were together in high school, why they're – they're sleeping in half the day together.
Yeah, whose parents are letting them sleep over?
Half the day.
Don't get me started. That wouldn't fly in my household. Not like my parents had to ever make that call.
Yeah,
it was never an issue.
I don't picture them allowing my boyfriend to lounge around in my bed all day.
Yeah, in your high school bed.
Oh, no judgment, but.
I mean, if your parents are cool, that's fine. But I don't think mine would have been. Seeming that my sister is engaged and my mom will let them sleep in the same bed at my house.
Yeah, it's like wedding night. Okay, you can finally.
It's like they live together. Like,
yeah, maybe with a ring that will be.
Maybe.
But, and also, I guess I get the ties to Dorothea when she talks about, like, the so-called friends in LA.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's like, I haven't actually listened to these two that closely together in a row.
Just the Dorothea song just makes me be like, it's like, hey girl, like, what's up? Remember me? And I don't get that vibe from him from this song.
I don't,
like, he's
no,
like,
I think Dorothea, I don't think it's a guy singing to her.
Yeah.
I think it's Taylor singing to Dorothea, but then this Dorothea is this girl's, there's three characters.
Oh, I thought Dorothea was in a male perspective.
Did she say that?
I don't know where I got that.
Oh, I didn't think that. I thought Taylor's.
Okay, well, we can get into that.
I don't think that this guy is singing to Dorothea. I think that's something separate.
Oh, okay.
It makes more sense to me. Now, did you also see that picture of, like, in her hometown, there's a Woodvale Street, and then there's, like, a Methodist church?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, just right where she parked.
That's
why when she, like, had Woodvale, like, in the cover, I feel like she really might have just used, like, a mystical-ish name
from
her hometown.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I don't really have a lot else to say about this one.
Yeah, other than it's that she'll ever know.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like,
that part,
like,
was sad.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
And the heart I'm breaking is my own when she's, like, going off to Hollywood. And,
yeah.
Like, so that's why I don't think he's not uninterested. I don't think he's uninterested.
Oh, so you think she's just –
I just think
she
doesn't live there and they're living, like, way different lives.
Okay. Yeah, he's still living in his home. It's a jam. It's good.
Yeah.
I like the leaving the warmest bed. So, yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah.
A+.
A++, yeah. All right, so that's pretty good.
That just about wraps it up.
That wraps up for now.
Our first four songs.
You know, we'll try and get out another episode talking about a couple more songs and our thoughts on those. If you guys have any other theories, we'll have to say our Instagram name so people know. Just find us
somewhere. We'll be out there.
We'll be out there somewhere.
Someday.
Someday soon.
Someday soon.
Yes. So, oh, wait. I have a surprise segment at the end. So.
Oh.
We're just going to have a little fun game. I outsourced questions from fans.
What fans?
Just the fans. So you have to answer this too. It's just like a fun segment, quizzing, asking people about Taylor. So my question was, if you had to lose your virginity to any Taylor song, what would it be? And if you want to share why.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So if while you're thinking, I'll read in some of the user, some of the listener answers. We had we had Nancy from Colorado, and she shared that hers would be Forgot That You Existed. We had A from Illinois. She said, Look What You Made Me Do. So that could be a good one.
Wow. That's not the vibe I'm going for.
We had another listener from Chicago. She said, You Are In Love. So, you know, that must have been a nice romance.
Wait, you mean like if I could do it again?
I guess.
Or I'm putting a song to what it was like.
Maybe you should put a song to what it was like. And then we had another listener call in and say, I just got, nobody's calling in. And they said paper rings, but they maybe it was on their wedding night. I didn't really pry into too much detail there. I always thought mine would be Untouchable, but in reality, that's not what the experience was like. Treacherous.
Yeah.
So we'll put out our question for the next segment and have users call in or write in and just let us know what you're thinking, and we can share your responses on air. This segment is called Just Taylor Things. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was fun talking to you guys, and hopefully you'll be interested enough to listen into the next one.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Instagram at Champagne Problems Pod.
That's Champagne Problems P-O-D.
Yes.
And let us know what you think.
We'll be doing some fun stuff on there. So
yeah,
getting some content out.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Yep.
Bye.